We do have a subject on our heart. I want to tell you, first of all, God has been very good to us here in Wichita once again. You look out, and this is getting close to the last of this of the meeting, but God has been good. Maybe he'll bless us again to come back to Wichita. Thank you for your love, your hospitality, the lodging, everything. It's been beautiful. We are looking to the Lord to especially bless this afternoon. This subject is probably a little different than what you might have heard, but it's based upon the Word of God, and that's what we want. When the Word of God is in it, we are safe, even though it might have a little bit of different title or something. But I would appreciate your prayers. I would appreciate your attention. And most of all, I want to do the will of the Lord. We have a subject that we're going to be talking about, and I'm going to reveal it to you in a little bit. In fact, I am just going to walk over here to this board, and I'm going to write it. I did write a subject on the board. Are you a living bridge? We want to deal with that some today. I looked up a definition of bridge. It's a structure carrying a road path, railroad, or canal across a river, a ravine, a railroad, or other obstacle. It is constructed for the purpose of providing passage over the obstacle, which is usually something that is otherwise difficult or impossible to cross. We need human bridges today. We surely do. But God is our great support. The supports must be strong enough to hold the structure up, and the spans between supports must be strong enough to carry the loads.
Yes.
You know, we compose bridges of concrete and iron and different things. I don't know all of that. That's not so important. But they need to be strong. They need to be weight-bearing. You think about this building, we don't have a bridge up there, but we have some supports that are behind the beautiful things that we see. Those supports are very important. They will connect this side to the other side and down the middle. I'm thinking about spiritually, we need some strong supports today. God is our great God, but we also have brothers and sisters that can play as a bridge between one situation and the other situation. You, as a saint of God, can have the peace of God and the meekness, as Sister Doris spoke about, that you can be able to go into a situation with the Lord's help and you being the bridge, and you can help make it a peaceful solution, or you can cause it to have lots of confusion. People may get hurt and offended, but if you have God in your life, that bridge is going to be able to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. This is where my mind is running today. I want you to pray for me, because I recognize you probably haven't heard it preached, labeled this way, but there are some good gems that the Lord would like for us to have. I read an article. The people who live in India have developed a unique way to get across the many rivers and streams in their land. They grow bridges from the roots of rubber trees. These living bridges take between 10 to 15 years to mature, but once they are established, they are extremely stable and last for hundreds of years. Isn't that amazing? It really is. What about our spiritual bridge? Are we rooted and grounded in the things of God, that we will be able to withstand the storms and the challenges that are coming our way? But it does not happen in 1 second. You're going to have to be willing to go through some suffering, to go through some winds that are going to toss you, to go through some disappointments, to go through some things where you are learning and the Lord is guiding you. But if you draw back from those things and say it's too too hard, you're never going to be established. You're never going to have that root system that you need, that you'll be able to be some support for your brother, your sister, the young ones that are coming on with their beautiful lives ahead of us. We need bridges in the church of God, our brothers and our sisters. So let us be challenged today. Am I willing, Lord, to be a living bridge? Or, Lord, am I just going to be taking up space? Some bridges, they have a notice on them. They put barricades around them. It's unsafe. It's unsafe. Something has happened to that structure. Yeah. They need to repair it. But, Lord, help us to be a living bridge. All right. The Bible compares a person who trusts in God to a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river. That's Jeremiah 17 and 8. We'll get that later on. Because its roots are well nourished. Well nourished. This tree survives soaring temperatures. And during drought, when there's no rain or moisture, it continues to yield fruit. Are you a living bridge? Lord, help us today. Like a firmly planted tree, people who rely on God have a sense of stability and vitality despite the worst conditions that they might be experiencing. Isn't that amazing? But God is able to do that for each one of us. So here's the thing. Let us get prepared now. You go to the nursery and you might buy, well, you might be dollar conscious, most of us are, but you can buy a little tree that might be, well, I'm not sure, maybe about the width of my two fingers, like this. You don't pay very much for a little tree like that. You can bend it over. In fact, you can make it into something like a whip or a toy. But you let that tree mature. You let that tree get some moisture, some fertilizer, some sunshine. And just over a period of time, that tree is going to get those different layers around there. It's going to mature. It's going to get broader. Yeah. It's going to get taller. It's going to have more of a mass of the leaves and whatever that it needs. And those roots are going to sink deeper and deeper into the soil. And another thing, the price is going to go up on that tree. You're going to pay more money for it, because if you buy it at the nursery, they're probably going to have to get one, what I call one of those big bulldozers. That's not what they're called, but they got to keep that big ball, that root ball, and they got to transport it to where you want it to be. So all of that is going to be an expense. Yeah. But then you put it into your yard and it's going to be able to flourish and blossom, and it's going to provide shade and the birds and all that, and your landscape's going to look beautiful because you didn't grow it all that time in your yard, but you paid the price to get it, transport it there, and now you have a beautiful tree. But listen, we have to pay the spiritual price. We're not going to get it like that and go pay our money for it. We're going to have to put in for it, down on our knees, praying and fasting, and those tears that come forth, Lord. The Lord knows all about it. They're bottled, and you just let them flow. Sometimes the words can't even really come out like you want them to, but the Lord knows your heart. We're talking about getting rooted in the things of God. Are you willing to be a living bridge? Lord, help us today. What about it? Those of us that have a family, when they come and look through our things and when they're making those final arrangements, are they going to be able to see that my mother, my father, they were men and women of God? I know they were by the life that they lived. I'm going to leave a legacy behind them. Children, come on, trust the Lord. I know this is important. It's not so much about how much material wealth you leave for them. Most of us are not going to be in that category. You might leave a few dollars or whatever, but the most important thing, this is the jewel, God, and I've taught it to you, and I'm going to teach it to the next generation. Are you willing to be a living bridge? Wouldn't it be beautiful if your child got in a situation and they remembered, Lord, I'm up against something that's hard. I'm up against a concrete wall here. But I remember that my mother was a praying mother. I remember my father prayed for me. I remember when I was sick And when I came and they had prayer for me and God healed me, isn't that a beautiful legacy to leave for your children? I remember that my mother and my father were peacemakers. They were not causing trouble at the job and wherever else they went. Beautiful, a living bridge. May the Lord help us today. This is down to where we're living. I'm not talking about up there in the rafters. That's good. But this is going to help us to be a living bridge. May the Lord bless us today. Amen. We want to be rooted in the things of God. May the Lord help us. I think that's sufficient. Let's go into the scriptures here. 2 Timothy 1 and 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 7. This is about Paul talking to Timothy. He recognized something in him, and God will be with each one of us that are trusting the Lord. Here we are, 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 7. We all are important. All right, here we go. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the unwavering faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, yes, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, yes, living bridges are very important. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And it goes on, if you are a living bridge, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, thank the Lord, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me tell you, if you have a big tree that falls over or partly falls over, there's going to be some noise. You're going to feel that impact. It might crush your roof or something like that. But here's the thing. If we're so rooted and grounded in the things of God, we're going to be able to withstand. How many? Some of us might have to go in that fiery furnace like those three Hebrew brothers. Remember, it may not be that literal fire, but we're going to have some afflictions. And are we going to be able to stand? Are we just going to crumble down and give up and say, well, this is a decree and I'm going to bow down to it? No, we want something within us that we're going to be able to say, Lord, you know the way that I take. Lord, I am not going to yield. Lord, I'm not being contrary. But Lord, I am going to be an example for you. This is what we're talking about. And listen, it's not only for the older people that have gotten gray hair like I have and in the 70 club, as I call it. It's for all of us to start preparing. Moses had a time of preparation, remember? And one time he went out into the desert. First of all, he had a mother that was a bridge. She was a living bridge. I thought about that because she did not destroy her son. She did not destroy him. She preserved him and she hid him. But God had a plan for Moses. He was going to be a leader someday. God has a plan for our children too. We don't know their potential, but let us do what we can to help them to get channeled toward the things of God. So anyway, that's sufficient. But here we have something for grandmothers. They can be a living pillar. Grandfathers, aunties, nieces, friends, whoever. God can use you, and we appreciate it today. All right, Jeremiah 17 and 7. Let's see what we have here. We touched on it a little bit before, I believe, but Jeremiah 17, 7 through 10. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, thank the Lord, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Thank the Lord. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's going to be sufficient right there. We want to be blessed. We want to be rooted and grounded in the things of God. It's going to help sustain us. You know, we're living in a time, I believe, that it's very important that we be steadfast in our belief, because it appears to me that the forces are trying to get us to the left or to the right. What do you think about this without giving you the whole truth why they ask you that? But if you're steadfast in your biblical principles and the doctrines and the scriptures, the Spirit of God is going to be able to help you to give a good answer. And not only that, to live a good, clean life and to be an example. So may the Lord encourage us today. We want to be a living bridge. Thank the Lord. Psalm 73 and 1. Let's see what we have over there. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I know this afternoon service is a challenge. We might like to have a nice nap after a good lunch, but the Lord is going to bless us because we're not going to be here too long. But we're going to allow the Spirit of God to bless us as we are standing before you. 73 and 1 says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, notice, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish, at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bonds in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble. This is you can just start imagining things as other men. Neither are they plagued by other men. But you know, this is what it goes on to say. But notice, 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. If you feel that you're in this way spiritually, don't give up. 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You know, we can imagine all kinds of things. But remember, I reminded you before what Job said. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We Christians are going to have trouble too. So we may as well get ready. But the beautiful thing is that we have Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be with us as a companion. And he can help smooth those rough places out. He can give you that peace inside that others cannot understand. He can give you that understanding to help you to know that you're going through this, but it's going to give you patience. It's going to give you some experience. It's going to give you some fortitude, and it's going to give you something within your experience that when your brother or sister meets something along the way, you can come alongside of them, maybe put your arm around them or speak some words and say, brother, the Lord has seen me through, and he's going to see you through there because you have some firsthand experience. But if you never go through anything, you don't have that same quality of, what is it, compassion or empathy. But if you've gone through it, even though it's hard, you can be able to say, yes, I remember Brother Gracie. I'm not looking at him when he likes to say that song about, I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often what often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears. We're gonna have that. But listen, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way. But it didn't stop there. That's right. The Spirit did what? Led unerring to the land I hold today. You're going to be able to know that that's a reality. We're talking about a living bridge, and the Lord is so wonderful, and he'll be right there with you. You can have a personal testimony. You know, when people are a salesperson, you like to say, well, how long have you tried this product? This is what I asked. They try to tell you all the beautiful things, maybe about the vacuum or whatever. I said, well, have you ever taken one home and have you used it? Well, yes. Or if they tell me what the manual says, I don't really believe them as much. But when they say, oh, yes, ma'am, I've taken it home and it's the best vacuum that I've used, and my wife just thinks it's so wonderful, whatever they're going to say, they're a salesman. But when you have that firsthand experience, you can say it from the heart, and it rings true. Thank the Lord. Are you willing to be a living bridge? Okay, let's see where else we are right here. I think we're going to Genesis 50 and 20. This is about Joseph. We're not going to share with you the whole story of Joseph, but this little part, you know, Joseph went through a lot of things. He was a dreamer. He had to go over there. I think he was sold over to Egypt, and they told the father that here's his coat of many colors and dipped it in some blood and made the seem like a wild beast had devoured the son. He went through all of that. His father suffered greatly. His father was a living bridge too. Joseph was too. But God still had a plan for Joseph. Even when he went over there, he excelled. He was recognized. He was promoted to a place of honor. Even when the wife of Pharaoh tried to take advantage of him, he was a living bridge. He fled. He did not yield to that temptation. Isn't that wonderful that we can do that? And now here we are in Genesis 50 and 20. When his brethren began to be in hunger, you know, hunger can do some things for us sometime. They decide they need to go over there where there was some food, and I think they went on over there into Egypt. But then the time came when he needed to reveal himself to his brethren. Remember, but Joseph was a living bridge in that he kept a good attitude. He was able to forgive his brothers because the scripture bears it out. He didn't say, now this is a good time, get the army, we're going to retaliate because these are my brothers and they've done me wrong for all these years and look at them. Now they're hungry and they're needing something. I can withhold it from them. He did not do that. But notice it says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Amen. He had to be in that situation, I believe, according to the scripture, that he would be able to have provisions for others. Are we willing to go through some hardship as a living bridge that others can benefit? We may not know the others that benefit, but Lord, I'm putting it in your hand because I want to make it to heaven and I want to finish well like Paul did. So Lord, use me however you see fit, Lord. I am willing. And I know these are some things that you're going to have to pray about. These are some things that you're going to have to get on your face before God. It's not going to come floating through the sky. You're going to have to desire it. You're going to have to put in for it. You're going to have to allow some time to grow, to mature, for you to understand, to listen to the voice of God, and to know and to be obedient. Lord, help us today. We're talking about living bridges. Are you willing to be one? All right, let's see. And so he was able to help them. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. Thank the Lord. And he did what? It didn't say he scolded them. He comforted them. They needed to be comforted. A living bridge is there to comfort you in your time of need. And spake kindly unto them. He didn't say evil for evil. And I'm going to retaliate. I know God repays. He didn't do any of that foolish talking. He was led. And he had the right attitude. Our attitudes are important in the living bridge. You know, a bridge carries a lot of weight. It is designed, some of them, to carry a lot of weight. One time we were had a detour, and I was able to see the, they call it an overpass, but to me it was like a bridge. I saw those big old 18-wheelers go across there, and we were coming this way, and it was going up over like that, and they had to have a detour. Looked like they were just going one lane at a time, because I told my husband, I think all that weight on those big old 18-wheelers, they didn't want the bridge to collapse, so they were kind of just letting like two or three go through, and then they take a space, and they let some more go across there. The bridge did not collapse. But what I'm getting ready to remind you, these living bridges, you don't start complaining. I got all this weight upon me and I'm just here and I'm gray or whatever color you are. All these people are going across me. They didn't have that type of an attitude, but the bridge was just there for whoever wanted to come across it. The millionaire, the man that didn't even have a car that was walking, everybody can go across that bridge and be blessed. Are you willing to be a doormat? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord, wherever you position me, I'm going to do my very best because, Lord, I want to please you. So we're thankful that he had a little attitude. Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And so, because Joseph was faithful, he was able to have provisions for his family, and many more people did not perish because he stayed in tune. He kept the right attitude. He had forgiveness in his heart. And we will be blessed if we follow his example. Thank the Lord. Okay, turn with me to 2 Kings, another living example. We don't have very many more, but we're trying to move on with the help of the Lord. This is about a handmaiden. I think she was taken in as captivity. As I mentioned to you, you don't know where life is going to lead you, but still be faithful. 2 Kings 5:1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was a leper, and he needed to be cured of that. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. The little maid was a living bridge, too. I believe she really was. She did what she was supposed to do, even though she was in captivity, but the Lord was with her. Are you willing to serve wherever the Lord places you? Are you willing to brighten the corner where you are? Are you going to be a troublemaker and a complainer, or just shirk back and hide away when you're supposed to be taking care of duties? Lord, help us today. She said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." This living bridge had faith and confidence that she had seen something. She had been exposed to something, or she had heard about this man. And one went in, they told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." Notice, they had confidence in what she said. She had been living, I believe, a good life. And so her words carried weight. So Lord help. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Okay, and he brought the letter in, and he let them, you know, about what was happening. All right, and 8, and it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." We're talking about living bridges here. 11. But Naaman was wroth. He had the wrong attitude. Even though he was an honorable man, he was a man of valor, but he had the wrong attitude. I believe we can safely say that today. Yes. "Behold, I thought, he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Notice, he had leprosy and he needed to be cured or cleansed of his leprosy. But he had a certain way that he wanted to do it. Go back to the living bridges. I don't think the bridges say, "I'm only going to carry little sports cars over me. I'm only designed to carry those pretty little expensive things. I just want the pedestrians to walk over me. And I just want the bicyclists to ride." I don't think so. A bridge is made to bear weight. And so whatever comes along, you allow that to pass over because you are a bridge. Now, we know the Lord gives us wisdom, but think about this. He had a certain way that he wanted to be done. Or not, and then he even had the places where he wanted to go. Lord, help us today. All right. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, 'Wash and be clean,' then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Praise the Lord. All right. went on. Isn't that wonderful? He went on down to Jordan where he should have gone at first. He could have been converted from a leper earlier if he would have been obedient. But he had some attitudes that the Lord needed to bless him with. Okay, and he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Now, there was somebody else that got into some trouble, too, in this same story. But this was a living bridge. I think Gehazi, the servant, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman. And so he got some of those treasures, but it did not do him very much good. And so the Lord wants us to do everything in the order of the Lord. So thank the Lord for that. We're not going to go into Gehazi, how that he got into trouble. But you know, the Lord will bless us each one. Let's focus on being a living bridge. Thank the Lord. All right. Okay, let's go back. We have Galatians 3 and 24, and then we have Galatians 4. And Lord willing, that'll be sufficient for today. Galatians 3 and 24, he's doing a wonderful job. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Bridges. We needed things to connect. And God saw how to do that for us. We appreciate him so very much today. Galatians 4, 4 through 7, and it reads, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for his goodness. That's like, dear Father. Now, I want you all to be encouraged. I'm in it with you, too. Are you willing to be a living bridge? Are you willing for your life to be a sacrifice unto the Lord, a sacrifice unto my brother and to my sister? You know, we sing the song about thy dying love has won my heart. So that should challenge us to do what we can at the ending of this revival. We're not cutting it off yet, but God has given us some special visitation. And so we need to be diligent to put these things into practice, because if the Lord spares another revival to come, what we need to do would be good. We could just be matured even more in the things of God, and we can just have a beautiful meeting and be blessed and continue on. And you can be like that tree. You're just fat and flourishing, and others will be able to be blessed because the shade that you provide, the encouragement that you provide for the pastor, the ministers, the Sunday school teachers, the youth group, whoever you meet along the way, you're just going to be an ambassador. You're just going to be able, and a little leaf can drop here and you can sow a seed there, and you can just be a living bridge, and you can be blessed abundantly. Remember me, that I will be a living bridge, that I will continue to be a living bridge, that I will obey the Lord, and that I can hear his faintest whisper. Amen.